Jesus walked on water. Hallelujah. The waters can't drown him because he created the water. And so Jesus is walking on your water today. The troubled waters that are within your soul, Jesus is walking on them. And he's saying, peace, be still. Praise God. How many are glad for that? Praise the Lord. He will preserve you. It means he will hold you in hard times. Praise God. Let's turn to Psalm 78. I promised that we would go into some psalms today. We'll start there, but we won't finish there. Psalm 78, we want to look a little bit at the history. I believe that people call me an historian. I said, okay, if an historian is a person that has volumes and volumes of history books and has read most of them, I guess I'm that. But if I'm an historian that's written books, no, I'm not that. But I have a great love for history. And history and the prophetic go together. We can't be all history. We can't be all prophetic. We got to have them both together. Amen? And so let's look at some of the history here of Israel as we look at verses 54 to 66 in Psalm 78. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary. He's talking about Israel that came out of Egypt. Remember them? And even to the mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them. Now he's kicking over to not the group that came out, but he's kicking over to the group that went into the promised land. And how many know they ended up sitting just as bad as the other after a while? And now he says, I cast out the heathen, divided them inheritance by line, made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. He's talking about the group not crossed over. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. And the result of that is found in the book of Judges. The book of Judges is 300 years of apostasy that took place where Israel was no longer taking the land from their enemies, but now their enemies were taking their land. You see, the devil will either take your land or you'll take his. You're not going to be able to compromise. He's a powerful foe. And unless you're in Christ, you can't defeat him. He has wisdom wiser than Dan. He's working overtime, and he's working Christians over in the thought life. I've had to battle some tremendous attacks of anxiety and fear, and yet I've had the intercession of Christ at different times. A brother that I highly respect, I'll be seeing him next week. He's a cross between a prophet and evangelist. He's going to be in our area. He's a very close friend. And I'm going through this about this cancer. When you hear the C word, you'll wonder where it's going. And all of a sudden, I go out for a walk, and this brother, I come back, and on the recording, this prophet is weeping on the recorder. And this is a man who's conquered cancer. He's 97 years old, and he still travels all over the world. And he began to plead with God to spare my life, to spare my life. See, the intercession of the church can wake God up also. Intercession. When I had the brain tumor years ago, I didn't know how that was going to go. I was told I'd have a stroke and I could be crippled completely on my right side. I have neuropathy in my right foot, but I can walk by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. And I remember this particular sister, it came back to me. I had gone to this meeting. I'd gone to this church meeting. And God began to use my wife and I in the prophetic. We've been known to do that. And we began ministering to different people. And I ministered to this one girl. And she seemed to be brokenhearted. And I didn't know why. And all of a sudden, as I began to prophesy, the Lord showed me that she'd been jilted by a man almost the day of her marriage, right up to the weeks, right up to it. And then all of a sudden I said, someone who you dearly loved left you, and it's killed a dream. But I see a doorway, and I see a shadow of a man, and the Lord is coming to bring another man. And that woman got married to somebody who genuinely loved her. And somehow, when I had this brain tumor that gave me a little bit of a crippling effect, this woman cried out, I was told, by her mother. Her mother told me this. She said, one night she began to intercede, and she said, Lord, you used this brother Bert to give me a word to find a husband. I pray that you spare his life. I'm telling you, it doesn't take a big preacher to get God to move. It doesn't take somebody who's been to Bible school. It doesn't take people an intellectual. It can be a nobody who doesn't know where they're going. That has nothing, no other reason to live in this life. Just one cry, like Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. And God can do that. I appreciated that prayer. There's coming an awakening in this hour upon the church. Even in the book of Judges, during the idolatry, there are pockets of miracles and deliverances all through. The Gideons, the Samsons, the Deborahs, many of them were there. Praise God. And so we look at these verses here in 54. Let's continue as we're reading. And it said, in verse 58, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, moved to jealousy with graven images. And when God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men. And he delivered his strength into captivity, and to his glory into the enemy's hand. This is the book of Judges, by the way. Historically speaking, this is Judges. He gave his people also over unto the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men and their maidens and were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword and their widows made no lamentation. And we're living in this day. There are many ministers that are falling from grace today for one reason or another. But I like what verse 65 says. Then the Lord awaked as one out of the sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted the reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion. And he still loves Mount Zion today, by the way. You're Mount Zion. There's been hymns. Before I even heard of the truths of Mount Zion, there was hymns written about it. And he built in the sanctuary like high places. And it goes on to say in verse 7, and he chose David. Praise God. Now, book of Matthew tells us that from Abraham to David, how many generations? Any Bible scholar? 14. And I would say, when did the antics start with Israel? It started when Jacob was in control. His sons were awful. They were murderers. They were idolaters. In fact, when he comes to Bethel for the second time, the Lord commands Jacob to get rid of the idols of his household. 12 generations. It's a long time, a very long time. And we are in that. We are seeing God is recycling generations right now. When he finds a generation that's righteous, he's coming back. None of us know when. He's cycling through the generations. But I'm going to tell you something. If he awakened there, he's going to awake again. Amen. And the interesting thing is David is also not a type of the king who ruled over Israel, but he's a prophetic type of the coming king. Hallelujah. And I, according to my scripture here, he woke up way before David was on the throne. We are going to see an awakening. God is going to do it. God is going to awaken the church in this hour. I need to be awakened. I need to be awakened. And the prodigal son said, I will arise and go back to Father's house. And the word arise means awake. He woke up. Got a little uncomfortable sleeping in a pig pen with noisy pigs and terrible smells. Sooner or later, we arise. So anytime you see the word arise, it means awake. God, where it says God will hasten to bring you the path of his word. You ever read that word, hasten? That word hasten means awake. And I'm told that one of all the trees that God has created, the first tree that gets resurrected well ahead of any of them is the almond tree that's found in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. And God deliberately gave Jeremiah a rod of almond. In fact, Aaron, the priest, had a rod with almonds on it. And God says, I'll hasten my word. I will quicken it. I will bring it to pass. I will speak it into being. I will cause it to happen. How many believe that today? God wants to speak. I remember one time sitting in a meeting. I went there to visit in a Bible school, and they were very gracious to me and my cousin. They let us get up and say something. And this young lady came out from the back of the church, and I was in preparation. I was in a season where I was hardly ever ministering. I was just listening, receiving. No ambition, just wanting to be what God wanted me. Like any other youth, wanting to see everything come together, all the puzzle parts for my life. And this young lady just races up, and she says, and the Lord is going to expedite his work in you. At any time, the Lord can expedite and cause your prayers to be answered quickly. God can cause something in your life to turn just like that. And we have this black brother in my church that I love. He's from Barbados, and he preaches like a Caribbean. He's got fire in his bones. When he gets up, he takes the offering. For 3 years, he never said anything in my church. I said, I got to find something for this brother to do. I'll let him take up the offering. All of a sudden, every Sunday, the prophetic anointing comes upon him. And he preaches for about 15 minutes. And I'll let him go because it's the word of the Lord. And it quickens me a lot of times. And one of the things he likes to say over and over again is, don't pray once, don't pray twice, don't pray three times, pray all the time. And we quit too often. We were just ready to get the victory, and we let discouragement and fear come in. And what God wanted to give us, it's held up. It's kept on reserve. God wants to awaken us. God awakens us by us awakening him. Because it's actually God that can wake us up. Let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Praise God. I'm here to give you not just one of brother. I know pastors that when they go to conventions, they pick out one of their top 10 sermons that they've preached during the year. And that has to be preached at the conference. When I go to the conference, I don't preach like that. My wife said, I don't preach anything more than twice. I go there. What is the Lord wanting for that people? Amen. Not my favorite sermon, but what is God saying in this hour? What is he saying by the Spirit? And that's how Paul spoke. If you want doctrine, you go into Corinthians. But also, Paul moved in the prophetic. How many believe that? The letters were prophetic that he wrote. Timothy was his last prophetic letter. Everything was not about doctrine, foundation. And I'm going to say, there's nothing wrong with preaching basic messages. But sooner or later, we need to get into the meat. We need to get into the heart. And isn't it interesting? Of 12 disciples, only 3 were able to eat the meat. And that's the ones that God favored. We need to hear what he's saying in the Spirit today. Amen? And he's saying this, I'm going to awaken the church. I don't care how bad things are in your life. I'm going to awaken you to realize that I'm on the throne and that I'm in the midst of my people. Hallelujah. God's coming to awaken the church, and he's going to awaken you and I. Here's a very, the book of Ephesians is my favorite book in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it's Ephesians. The New Testament's Ephesians, the Old Testament's Isaiah. When I went to Bible school, the place where I met Arlene in Ingersoll, Ontario, wonderful years of my life. Got to teach in this Bible school with young people. Had gotten a history degree, was not able to get a full-time secular job. And my pastor said, you're going to have to realize something. You may never get to teach secular. The only thing you may ever get to teach is the kingdom of God. How many of you got for pastors? They give us guidance and wisdom.